This week's mailbag comes to us from Mindy. Dear Lisa and team, I am truly so grateful for all of you. Lisa, you do an amazing job at being positive and optimistic. And thank you for this email today, giving yourself and us permission to grieve the loss of experiences that we are all coping with in some way or another. My son started kindergarten this past year, and the day the school released their plan to begin with a two-day-a-week in-person, three-day-a-week virtual option for those of us not opting for the five-day virtual option was the day that I received your email. And it was comforting to be reminded that we are all in this together. I have been planning what I want our home to be like or to function well for us in the next phase of pandemic living based on your recent podcast. You are helping all of us continue to grow and set positive examples for our kids. I am still encouraged by the news of the possible vaccine, and while the world and our country has a lot of other heart-wrenching issues going on, I am at least grateful for the hope of a vaccine. Please stay safe and thank you for the example that you set for us.
Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting, functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Welcome to part three of Discovering You. All right, we've discovered how we think and how we go from an idea to a finished product. We have really talked through your energy and your intuition and how I kind of have seen what I understood for accomplishing tasks in my early years is changing in society and personally for myself as far as following your energy versus trying to do time management and increasing productivity. The third part of discovering you is that now that you know how you think and get something done, and you've looked at your own energy and intuition, it's time to create and trust your plan. I want you to think, remember last week we talked about how we're in sprints now instead of marathons. So you don't have to create and trust your plan for the rest of your life. We're going to learn how to create and trust our plan for a day, for a week, for a season. How do you create and trust your plan? I like to say that planning is the antidote to decision fatigue. The thing that drains my energy faster than anything else and probably does for you as well is to have to make a bunch of decisions. And they say that we make thousands of decisions every single day. The more rules you can create for yourself and the less decisions you have to make, the more brain power and energy you're going to have to do things that are, frankly, more important. So I like to say that when you create a rule, you no longer have to make a decision. I've talked about this in the past as well. Like, I have a rule. I don't have coffee after 2 o'clock. So if I'm tired and it's 3 o'clock, I think, oh, I'm tired. Do I want a coffee? No, I do not want a coffee because if I have a coffee at 3 o'clock, I will not be sleeping at night and then I'll be even more tired the next day. So I've just made a rule for myself. If it is after 2 o'clock, I do not get myself a coffee. So there's no decision fatigue. Oh, I'm tired. It's after 3 o'clock. Should I make a coffee? No, we don't make a coffee. I also don't take naps anymore because I found out if I take naps, the nappuccino I told you about last time does not work in your late 40s like it does in your early 40s, apparently. So in order to sleep at night, I cannot do coffee after 2. I also do not take naps ever. I'm just like, okay, guess I'm going to be tired until bedtime and then I will sleep better at night. It's just something that I've discovered for myself. So I'm tired. It's 3 o'clock. Then usually what I do is change the activities that I'm doing in the evening. I give myself grace and I'm like, great, I'm tired. So I'm going to be tired this evening. I'm not going to have a coffee. I'm not going to have a nap. I'm also not going to record a podcast. I'm going to not call a new business associate or whatever. Like, I am going to go to my more low energy tasks for the rest of the day. having a rule, if you think about something that you have to decide all of the time, what's for dinner? Make a rule. Fine. Taco Tuesdays, it's going to be pasta on Wednesdays, we're having takeout on Thursdays, pizza on Fridays. That's our Tuesday through Friday meal plan. It may be boring. You may not like it. You might like more variety. I personally love no more decisions. The pandemic made our adult children, and we eat at home now. I think you followed the podcast long enough to know that we did not eat at home before the pandemic started. And I have adult children, and now all of a sudden we all have family dinners again, which is great. I mean, it's great to have family dinners. I am not a cook. And Greg does buy all the foods, and he is the cook, but he only makes like two or three meals a week, and it's not consistent. He's not consistent with what he does. However, people in the family like to eat like every single meal and dinner. Like, I don't know why they want to eat all the time. I'm like, you have cars, go get something. I'm tired of this constant, this has been a constant thing that's going on in our family, like, what's for dinner? And everybody turns and they look at me and I'm like, I don't know why you're looking at me. I have not made dinner in 5 years. Why is this all of a sudden something that I am deciding again? But it is. So I'm tired of having the discussion about why you're asking me about dinner and why I'm responsible for dinner all of a sudden when I haven't been for 5 years. And I've decided, you know what, Lisa, it really doesn't matter what you think. You're clearly in charge of dinner again, and everybody is eating at home again, pretty much. So what's the rule? And I'm making a rule. And I'm going to do a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. This is what's going to be for dinner. Let me know if you're coming. Don't let me know. I don't care. If it's going to be takeout, you're on your own. If it's pizza, we'll change up where the pizza is. Somebody will be the... I'm going to sit down this weekend, and I'm going to plan this out. Tuesday through Friday, these are what dinners are. Saturday has always been on your own. For the last 10 years, like that's the day we always get fast food as a family. It's just our rule. Sunday is the day when Greg makes this fabulous dinner and his mother comes over. She has now been fully vaccinated. So she's back to coming over to our house. It used to be every other week. Now it's every week. Great. We know Greg's going to make something fabulous for dinner on Sundays. And usually he buys another dinner he's excited about on the weekend that he will make on Mondays. So Greg is going to be in charge of dinner on Sunday and Monday. I will have this set amount of dinners that we're having Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You're on your own on Saturday. The rule has been set. Do not ask me what is for dinner. If it's Tuesday, it's going to be tacos. If you don't want tacos, you're an adult. You have a car. You have a refrigerator. You see what we own. Figure it out. Like, that is going to reduce so much decision fatigue in our family for me, because I will literally be at work, not even coming home for dinner. And it's still, you're responsible for dinner, mom. You don't get to decide if people are looking to you for decisions. You just get to decide what your decision is going to be. And you could proactively decide what your decision is going to be. And you can create a rule. And when you create that rule, it reduces decision fatigue. Another one is we all have shared calendars. We had all shared calendars when the kids were in high school, and then they went off and started living their own lives, and then the pandemic happened, and now we all live together again, and I get all these questions about things that are on the calendar. Abby is extremely good about putting anything on the calendar that she wants me to come to. If she has a doctor's appointment and she wants me to know about it or she wants me to attend it, it is on the calendar, and I see it, and we don't even have this discussion anymore. She knows if she wants me there, she needs to put it on the calendar. My husband does not always check the calendar. And for me, I know you're like, oh my gosh, you make your husband check the calendar. Yes. Do you know why? I don't remember details. I don't remember details. So for my birthday, he's like, where are we going and when? I'm like, it's on the calendar. Darn it. I put it on the wrong calendar because he even went to check. He's like, it's not on the calendar. I need to know where you want to go and when. So I changed it to the right calendar. And he said, why is this such a big deal when I ask you where you want to go and when? I said, because Greg, I already made this decision and I put it on the calendar and I don't remember what I decided. So when you ask me where I want to go and when, first I have to remember where I want to go. It's a pizza place. That I usually can remember without looking at the calendar. I don't remember when. I don't remember if I said 4:30 or 5 or 5:30 or 6. I always like to eat early. And in the pandemic, I really like to eat early because I don't want to be out with a whole bunch of people. But I know the family wants to go out to dinner. So I probably put it down as 4. We're probably going to go at 5:30 because 4 is a ridiculously early amount of time to go to dinner. But I always pick early. Even before the pandemic, I picked early because the last thing I want to do is wait in line to have food. And I like to eat at 5. I love to eat early. So I'm standing next to him, pulling up my phone, finding it, telling him what it is, and sharing it with him on his calendar. It does not bother Greg if you ask him 5 different times specific details about an event in the future. It is one of my pet peeves. If you ask me over and over and over again about something that is not happening in the next hour, because I don't remember details well, and I just have a general idea of that's happening on a different day. Also, I do a lot of things in one day. Like at work, I'll have 6 or 8 meetings plus other tasks that I do. And I love that. I thrive on having a whole bunch of things in one day. So if you also ask me, when is dinner, what's for dinner, and when are we having dinner for your birthday in 2 weeks on a day when I'm having 8 meetings and I have other things to do at the office, those are decisions I don't want to be making at work. So this decision fatigue is only combated when you take responsibility and ownership of the questions and decisions that are being made of you. They're being requested of you. Create rules and eliminate the questions. If you want to know something that we already have details for, it's on, check the calendar before you ask me. That's always my thing. They'll ask me something, I'll say, did you check the calendar? If they check the calendar and it's not on there, then I need to put more details on the calendar. But if it's not happening today, and even if it is happening today, I really want you to check the calendar. What's the address? I don't know. Check the calendar. I'll put it in the calendar because I don't want to look up details. Details bother me. If you want to know what's for dinner, I didn't used to be the cooker. Apparently, I am now the coordinator of meals in the evening. Fine. I could keep fighting that I don't want this responsibility, or I could just say, whatever, apparently for this season, I'm back to being the orchestrator of meals for adult people in my house that I probably won't even eat. It's just easier for me to do the plans, to have a set plan and know what it's going to be, than to argue about whether or not I should be doing it. This is a season. Eventually, my adult children will be off and on their own, and I will not be responsible for meals again. Planning, creating rules is the antidote to decision fatigue, and it allows you more energy, more bandwidth, more time for the things that you want to do more of. So when you are thinking about not just what's for dinner or how to coordinate schedules for your family, think about one goal, one thing that you want to achieve. Whether it's the 100-day program, you want to start a Sunday basket, you want to get going on a Friday workbox, you want to walk 10,000 steps. One goal that you have. What is the sprint? What is the time frame for that goal? How long do you want to do that goal? For me, walking 10,000 steps, which is actually 6,000 steps, but walking 6,000 steps a day is a spring and summer goal. It's something that I want to do in the spring and in the summer. It's not something that I necessarily want to do for the rest of my life. I'll probably change the number of steps or when I do it. I cannot make a step goal that spans a long period of time. Right now it's the spring. It's probably going to rain. I'm probably going to do this on a treadmill. I for sure will walk about 10,000 steps on a Saturday because I'll do my whole embrace thing on Saturday morning on the treadmill. And then I try to do as much active stuff on Saturday as possible. I do turn into a sloth on Sunday and just sit and do puzzles all day, if at all possible. But that's okay. That's a choice that I've made. What is your goal? When you have a goal and you're looking to make a plan, are there any rules that you can make related to that plan that will make it easier for you to create a habit to do that plan versus trying to use your decision-making power or self-discipline? How can you take your goal that you want to do, create a habit that is going to move you faster towards that goal? So if your goal is to do the 100-day home organization program, And it is designed to be done in 15 minutes a day. Sometimes it takes 30. So let's say 30 minutes a day if you're going to do it on the high end. Do you have a time of day where you have enough energy and desire to organize your house every day for 30 minutes? Yes or no? If the answer is no, then do you have a period of time once or twice a week where you have 2 hours to organize your house? Yes or no? If the answer is no, do you have 1 3-to-4-hour block of time per week where you want to organize your house? If your answer is no to all three of those, then it is not a season for you to be doing the 100-day home organization program. If your answer is yes to number one, then yes, I have 15 to 30 minutes a day to do the 100-day home organization program. Great. When? First thing in the morning, after, you know, at 9 o'clock, after everything starts, you happen to be home, you don't have a job that starts at 9 o'clock, or maybe you're working from home and your job starts at 9, so you could do this from 8:30 to 9. Are you going to do it on your lunch hour? Are you going to do it the end of the typical workday? Are you going to do it after dinner? Are you going to do it before bed? Follow your energy. If you say, I'm going to do it after dinner, but you're a lion or a bear and you get your energy when the sun is up and the sun is going to go down and you're going to just want to talk to the neighbors outside because you haven't seen them in a year and a half and now you're able to social distance outside because it's spring and you're always going to end up picking that, then don't pick after dinner. If you're working from home, the lunch hour might be a nice time where you actually will stop checking email, go do the 100-day activity, have your lunch, and then go back to work and just tuck it in there because you have this unique opportunity that you're working from home that you weren't working from home before. And you would like to have that as a little break in the middle of your workday and also a time when you are able to get some physical energy out. What is the time of day? If you picked option two, where you have, you know, about 2 hours twice a week, what are those times? Is it like, oh, for me, Wednesday night, Greg plays golf on Wednesday night, so I would likely pick Wednesday night and Saturday morning. Or maybe you just want to do it one day a week. Is that Saturday morning? Sunday afternoon tends to be a really good time, like between 12 and 4 tends to be a really good time. Maybe Monday night. Maybe you only work 4 days a week, so you're going to do it on the day that you don't work. Whatever. Like, you know your schedule. I don't know your schedule. Where can you find those blocks of time? Then, when you have that block of time, just put it on your calendar as a non-negotiable. This is your plan in this season. You're going to do the 100-day, and you're going to do it at this time of day, and you're just going to block it out for the next 100 days on your calendar, however that works out, which is a little over 15 weeks. So the next 15 weeks. Let's say that your thing is to do the Sunday basket. Okay, so you're going to do the Sunday basket. That is your goal. We need to create a Sunday basket habit. Are you the kind of person who likes to have complete quiet when you work on a program? Are you the kind of person that will do it, but only if you're doing it with other people, so you want co-working time? Are you the kind of person that needs help getting started, but once you have a system going, then you could do it on your own? So if you're the kind of person that needs complete quiet in order to do a system, when can you have about 90 minutes to 2 hours to go through everything that's come into your household and make a plan? And also, when do you naturally plan? So for me, that was always on Sunday. That's why I picked the Sunday basket. And it was always that afternoon time frame when I told you is also a great time to do the 100-day program, between 1 and 4 in the afternoon on Sunday. It wasn't first thing in the morning on Sunday. It wasn't after our Sunday dinner that we do with my mother-in-law when I just want to do a puzzle. It was in that afternoon time frame. That's what worked for me. That's when I always do my Sunday basket. But for you, you may find, and many people do find, that they would rather do it when their family is not around. And so they do it on Monday morning, or they do it at work on Monday, or they do it Wednesday afternoon, or whatever. There may be a time in your week where you have about 2 hours to yourself without the family, and you're able to just really deep dive into that Sunday basket and get it going and have this be your time just for you. Or maybe you do better when you're working with people. Like, you're a very social person, you're a very communal person, you need someone, you're an obliger, you would like to have somebody else help you, hold you accountable to this time that you're going to do the Sunday basket, then you're going to want to do the Sunday Basket Club, which is part of the Sunday basket, and we have it on Facebook. It's, I don't know what time it is, you'll have to find out what time it is, it's on Sunday. And if that time zone doesn't work for you and you're very communal, there are 100 certified organizers in the United States that have Sunday basket clubs and have their own different time frames that you can find one maybe that's more local to you or in a different time zone or different time that would work for you. You might also like smaller group instruction, so you'd rather do your Sunday basket with 6 people instead of 60 people. You know, you could do that. Or if you're the kind of person that really needs help in setting up a system and you've gotten the Sunday basket, but it's not really working for you, you may want one one-on-one coaching session with one of the certified organizers, and then you have that work into your schedule wherever it goes. What is your plan for implementing that Sunday basket? What are the supports that you need in order to get that done? So creating a plan and trusting your plan, this is really learning how to goal set. And I know in work, in school, we set goals. We have achievable goals that we want to attain. And then we graduate and we come home and we just see everything we do at home as work that needs to be done, never-ending work. Like the laundry is going to keep coming back, right? The grass is going to need to be cut again. The kitchen is going to need to be cleaned. We're going to have to go to the grocery store again. And sometimes when that work that you see at home has to be repeated over and over and over again, you start to think, well, there's no planning that needs to be done. There's no goal attainment because there's going to be more laundry. But do you have plans at home that are goal-oriented that would change that kind of work or be an addition to? One of the things that I've realized in doing the survey that we're coming out with, that I'll be sharing at Embrace, is that we all have a different definition of what housework is. And it's actually 4 different kinds of work. I'll be sharing that this summer. And the kind of work that we get hung up on that we attribute to housework is really tasks of daily living. Feeding yourself, bathing, doing laundry. Every human being has to do those things in every country at every age. Has nothing to do with if you're in a house or not. They are called tasks of daily living. It is what the government looks to see if you're capable of doing those tasks of daily living in order to see if you need additional social services. Like, these are things that everybody has to have clothes and clean their clothes and have food and make their food and clean up after their food. Like, these are tasks of daily living. They're not goal attainment tasks. They're tasks that keep you alive and healthy and in society. So if we look at our house and living in our house, like, everybody has to shower, brush their teeth, get dressed, and eat. What are the other things that you're doing that are truly changing your house, changing your goals, changing the person who you are today, growing and developing you into a different being? What are those things? How are we planning for those? How can we make a plan and trust that plan? And so many of us, myself included, until very recently, are so busy trying to provide, caretake, and take care of the tasks of daily living. There's no extra time left to create some goal that we're going to attain. Yet it is attaining goals and setting a plan and achieving the plan that gives you the confidence to do the next thing, to do the next thing, and to make 3 years from now look different than today. It is those goals, those plans that you have for yourself that are not tasks of daily living that change your future. So what is one thing that in the next either quarter or the next 120 days that you can look at this summer? What do you want to say when you get to September that, oh, I set this goal and I did this thing and I am a different person today because of that thing? Not I got really, really good at laundry or I cleaned my kitchen up faster than I used to, but what is it? What is one thing today that could be a small goal that gets you to a different place in September so you can set the next goal and the next goal and the next goal? Creating an action plan, creating a goal, creating a plan, and then trusting the plan that you made is what helps you get to that goal attainment. The 100-day program is so successful because I've done all of that for you. I've planned the lessons. I planned exactly what you're going to do. Day one helps you do day two, helps you do day three, but also they all can be done out of order. Every single day is an independent lesson than every other day. No one day creates this huge mess in your house that you have to clean up the next day. It's all like a start and stop, like a little preschool curriculum for that day that you can do. And it really teaches you how to attack your house in a goal-oriented fashion to create decluttering, organizing, and increased productivity so that there is actually less to do the next time you go through the 100-day program. I've put all of the thought into that. That teaches you how to, when you're done doing the 100-day program one calendar year, you've done it three times, your household work is reduced significantly. Your house stays more organized. It just works. I don't know how to explain it to you. So if you are having a hard time coming up with what would my plan be, what would my goal be, just find 15 to 30 minutes a day or 2 hours twice a week or 3 to 4 hours once a week, and then try the 100-day program and see how when you set aside the time using a plan that someone else created but you are implementing gets you to your end goal. And experiencing that and understanding that in your house that you've lived in for a year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and then you see the second time through the 100-day program how much progress you have made in that same house you've lived in forever, you will start to say to yourself, oh my gosh, if that does this, then how much more am I capable of in my own goals, hopes, and dreams? And that is what makes you uniquely you. Next week on the podcast, I have a special guest who's going to talk to us about how do we curate our life? How do we curate our next season? How do we go from understanding how we think and understanding where our energy is and figuring out how to set and achieve a goal? What are the possibilities of those three things together? Have a great week.